Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, our Savior, and Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Luke's. We're glad that you're here for worship to be with us, and here in this place where we call in God's name, and we worship our three-in-one God, a God who is powerful and almighty and mysterious, and yet at the same time, he's a God who is personal, who knows each and every one of us by name, knows us uniquely. I'm Pastor Aaron. I serve here as associate pastor, and I pray that this morning, this service, this worship service, as we worship this God, is a blessing to you, whether you're new with us this morning or you've been here since the very beginning. It's just good that we are here to gather together. This morning, we are beginning a new season here at St. Luke's, and we've been going through this Old Testament narrative of the story. And we're taking a little break on that before we jump into it after Lent. So during this season of Lent, we're taking this break. And Lent is a season of the church year where we spend some time reflecting. It's a time where we prepare our hearts and minds for the time before Easter. We have this 40 days, and we're leading to this week before Easter called Holy Week, and we walk with Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, and then we ultimately lead to Good Friday, where we remember that our Lord was crucified upon a cross, only to rise to new life 3 days later on Easter. And so this time of Lent, this season before we get to that, it's a somber season. It's a somber time where we reflect upon our own sinfulness, reflect upon our mortality, and ultimately we reflect upon the cost of our sin, the cost that was paid by our Savior and Lord Jesus so that we would have freedom from that sin. And so as we enter into this season of reflection, we're going to do something a little different here in worship. Each week, we're going to have an image up on the screen, and we're going to reflect on that image. We're going to reflect on what we see. We're going to reflect upon the sinfulness of mankind that we'll see in some of these images. Ultimately, my hope is that as we look upon these images, we reflect upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, our image for this morning looks like this, and it's a pretty simple image, just a photograph of this wall. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to have this crazy artwork up there. That's just not me. But this image is, you know, when you see it, you just can't unsee it. So we have just kind of this wall here with some graffiti on it. Jesus, no name is higher, except Dave. And when I first saw this image, Pastor Dan sent it to me, and I chuckled a little bit, you know, just recognizing that someone was really clever here. But the more and more I looked at it, the more I realized what a great image for us to reflect on it as the people of God. And it reminds me, you know, when I was younger, my mom. Usually I was being selfish or something, and she would come to me and she would say, "Aaron, do you think the world revolves around you?" I don't know if your moms did this to you. I, you know, hang my head, no. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, kinda. You know, my own experience, my own perspective is the most real thing in the world to me. And so, yeah, in a very certain kind of way, I do kind of think the world revolves around me. And we certainly do act like that sometimes. It's really all about perspective, right? Your own perspective is different than everyone else's perspective. And this morning, as we talk about perspective, I want us to look at this image and think about it from different perspectives. maybe different people that would see this image in different ways. The first perspective I think we have to look at is just the person walking by, the normal passerby. Because in a lot of ways, this is kind of that's our perspective right now. Most of you probably haven't seen this image before, and so you're looking at it as a normal person would. The first person walking by and seeing this here. And so I want you to be able to reflect on this image. I want you to see the things here and what are your first impressions? What are the things that see? What are the things that stick out to you? When I first saw this image and I was looking at it and reflecting upon it, there's a lot of things that I saw. I think the first thing that stands out to me is all the graffiti. It's just like right in your face. And I think behind Jesus, No Name Is Higher, it says something like Leroy. I don't know what that's about, but that's the first thing that stands out to me. And I'm just like, you know, it just kind of bugs me. You just have this wall, this, you know, stucco wall, and, you know, it just seems disrespectful and to just vandalize the wall like that. And, you know, and then it's just kind of dirty and worn and just kind of this, it's chaotic, isn't it? All these things written on top of each other, there's just so much going on. It's ugly, you know. In my perspective, it's an ugly photo of this wall. And then, really, you can't help but see it, the big words right there in the middle. Jesus, No Name Is Higher. So prominent on the wall. And my first reaction is like, oh, that's good. No name is higher than Jesus. That's good. That's a good message. And then I thought about it as someone who maybe doesn't have Philippians 2 on the tip of their tongue or in their brain. Just a normal person who doesn't have a biblical worldview walking by. What would they think? What would they see as they saw this message? You know, it doesn't tell us anything about Jesus. It doesn't tell us anything about who he is. It doesn't tell us anything about what he did. It doesn't tell us why you should care about what he's done for you. And so, as I thought about it, I realized this normal person, this normal passerby who sees these words, Jesus, No Name Is Higher, the only thing that they're going to know is that whoever this Jesus is, apparently he's better than me. Which I don't think is a great message. Kind of hurts a little bit. It's certainly not a message of the gospel. As I continued to reflect on this wall, I couldn't help but notice the sign in the corner. No ball games in this area. And I looked at that and I said, really? Come on. You know, maybe it's just the athlete in me, but I see stuff like that. I'm like, no fun allowed. You know, that's what a sign like that is saying to me. And I also recognize that it looks like that sign has had a few balls thrown at it in its day. And you know, I think that's kind of how we react to this kind of sign, right? You know, we have this message of law, this restrictive, harsh message on this sign. And, you know, I'm just going to throw a baseball at it, right? Because we can be kind of like toddlers sometimes. You know, toddlers are fun and cute. They're also kind of contrarian, and let's be honest, pretty predictable. If you tell them not to do something, you can pretty much predict they're about to do whatever you just told them not to do, right? That's how they work. They're really predictable in that way, and that's us too. We see a message of law, a restrictive message, and we have this kind of rebellious streak in us, this rebellious nature. No one likes anyone to tell them what to do, really. You know, I want to be in charge. I'm the master of my own fate, the master of my own destiny. I don't want anyone to tell me how to live or what to do in my life. That's for me to decide. But then I thought about that and realized that when that's true, when that's how we're living our life and we're the ones in charge and we're the ones that are masters of our own fate, the master of our own destiny, that wall is kind of what our lives look like. Chaotic, dirty, worn, broken. That's sin in our lives. It hurts us and it has consequences. I think the person who came by and saw this wall, who wrote those words, "Jesus, no name is higher," you know, that's the type of wall they saw. A wall that was weathered and worn, a wall that had graffiti all over it, vandalized. It had seen better days. "I know what I'll do. I'll put Jesus on it. That'll make everything better." Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus is good. Jesus brings life. And we're going to bring life back to this wall by putting Jesus on the wall. You know, it probably was with a good heart that this person did this. But then I think as I look at the aftermath, I'm like, putting that on there did not make the wall any better. It didn't beautify the wall. It didn't clean the wall in any sort of way. It just added to the chaos. You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to use Jesus in this way, to use Jesus to just cover things up. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus isn't some sort of Band-Aid that we use to cover things up. Jesus isn't the rug that we put over all the dust in the house. Jesus, on that Good Friday, when he hung on the cross, he spilled his blood for you. And I love the way that Revelation explains that. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made white as snow. He washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white as snow. Jesus, in his innocent suffering and death, in his holy and precious blood, he doesn't cover over things. He washes. He cleanses. Jesus heals. And yet, we often do things like this. We use Jesus as a Band-Aid fix. I read an article that this dad wrote about his kids that they think Band-Aids fix everything, right? As kids do. And, you know, his kids skin their knee, put a Band-Aid on it. But it was everything. He would say, you know, you'd get sunburn, his kids like, put a Band-Aid on it. Stomach ache, you got to put a Band-Aid on your stomach for a stomach ache. Fever, you betcha, Band-Aid. But this is just a small, insignificant thing to cover over something. What Christ accomplished for us is so much greater. His blood washes you clean. If that same effect had been done on this wall, we would have a clean slate, a beautiful wall with no blemish. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. And then there's Dave. Can't forget Dave. You know, I think Dave came up upon this wall, and you know, he just couldn't help it. It was just wide open, you know. Jesus, no name is higher, but there's a little bit of space above Jesus for my name. And you know, I think we all have kind of an image in our mind of who this person is. Who's Dave? You know, Dave in my mind, he's a humorous guy, you know. He's a good guy. He's pretty tongue-in-cheek sometimes. He delights in his own wit. You know, and he likes to poke fun at people sometimes. At least in my mind, I think of a guy who, you know, is probably pretty set in his convictions. Maybe sometimes belittles people who don't have the same convictions that he has. And so Dave comes up upon this wall and he says, "This is a perfect opportunity. You know, Jesus, God's not real anyways. It'll be a good opportunity for a joke." You know, I did laugh the first time I saw this picture. It's humorous. It's a good joke. And then the more and more I looked at this picture, I just got this bone-chilling feeling. Because I realized something. I'm Dave. Right? I'm Dave. As I reflect on this wall, as I reflect on this image, there's all these things I think that we can see. But the thing that I see over and over again is there's all these different messages on the wall. There's the sign in the corner, there's the graffiti, there's the Jesus, no name is higher, there's Dave. And each single one kind of one-ups the one previous. And the graffiti kind of covering over the message of the wall, no games in this area. Jesus, no name is higher, written right over the graffiti. And then Dave, of course, one last little insult at the end. Because it's all a matter of perspective. We really are the center of our own universe. I think we try to pretend like we aren't sometimes, and even sometimes I think we can convince ourselves that it's not true, but we don't act like it. And the way that we act day in and day out, I am the most important person in my life. It's true. I wish that it wasn't, but I care more about myself than anyone else. And so at the heart of this image is idolatry. I am my own God. Nothing has lordship over me. No one can tell me how to live or what to do. I am God. It's the exact opposite message on this wall that we see in our reading from Philippians this morning. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul reminds us to humble ourselves, consider others more significant than yourself. Moreover, we read that Jesus himself, who was in the form of God, who was God himself in the flesh, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, humbled himself, submitted to his Father, and took up the cross on Calvary, bore your sin and my sin so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and life in his name. On that day, as Jesus hung from the cross, Jesus, who's God, considered you more important than himself. Jesus considered you more important than anything else in the world and died so that you could have life. Jesus' blood covers us. It washes us. He shows us what it looks like to serve, to be selfless, and to consider others greater than yourself. Jesus, on that cross, he died to kill the Dave in all of us. That little piece of us that is always self-centered. That little piece of us that is always idolatrous. And Jesus died to carry that away so that you could consider others around you more significant than yourself and love as Jesus loved you. Amen.